Blog Talk Radio.
Let me hope that everyone set their clocks back an hour on Saturday, 2 a.m. Yeah, 2 a.m. Because that was one of the things that we were supposed to do. Or otherwise, you're going to be an hour late. You'll be an hour late. Anyway, thank you for joining us today. This is Dr. Hank. You're on the Dr. Hank Show. And first of all, let me give a big shout out to some folks in Charlotte, North Carolina. Why? Well, we just started a meetup group in Charlotte, North Carolina, and some of the people there said that they were going to tune in, so hopefully they will be tuning in. But before we get started with the show today, for those of you that are new to the Society of Emotional Intelligence or new to the Dr. Hank Show, the Dr. Hank Show is really being brought to you by the Society of Emotional Intelligence. Society of Emotional Intelligence. If you're not familiar with the Society of Emotional Intelligence, well, let's say this. April 5 and 6 of 2019 will be our 10th year anniversary, and we'll have our annual conference in Orlando, Florida. So we've been around almost 10 years. And we've been doing the show, Let's Talk EI or the Dr. Hank Show, for close to 5, maybe 6 years. So the show isn't new, and Society of Emotional Intelligence itself is not new. So what are we about? That's what people always ask. What does the Society of Emotional Intelligence do? To give you a little insight, this past weekend, as a matter of fact, this past Saturday, I was in Orlando, Florida. We have a chapter in Orlando, SOEI Orlando. And what that chapter had done is that chapter had registered for and participated in Relay for Life. Now, most of you know that Relay for Life is a part of the ACS or the American Cancer Society. And depending on where you are, once or twice a year, they hold Relay for Life. And generally, it's done at a school or some other public venue. where people come and share information about, you know, cancer or cancer survivors and whatnot. And so for SOEI, we participate because it's a part of our community involvement. We are committed to be involved in the community, and it's a part of our social responsibility to be involved. So we had a tent there, and we were there most of the day sharing information about the society, but really acknowledging those that have had or survived cancer or had loved ones that have survived cancer or may not have survived cancer, but we were there to support those. So that's one of the things that the Society of Emotional Intelligence does. It's not about just emotional intelligence. It's about compassion. It's about empathy. It's about a lot of those areas. So if you're not familiar with the Society of Emotional Intelligence, I encourage you to go to our website, societyofei.org. That is societyofei.org. And look us up and find out more about us. Our mission is to learn the principles of EI, practice them in our personal, professional, and civic relationships, and to help equip and inspire others in their journey of emotional intelligence to do the same thing. So that's who we are. That's what we're about. And currently we have about 14 chapters across the U.S. and in London. Just to name some of the locations, if you will, we have 4 in Florida. That's Jacksonville, South Florida, North Florida, Tampa, Florida. We have a chapter in Ohio, 1 in New York, 1 in Los Angeles, 1 in Atlanta, 1 in California. And I think, yes, we just started one in Philadelphia, PA, and Richmond, Virginia. And our newest is Charlotte, North Carolina. As a matter of fact, you're going to be hearing from the chair of that chapter there in Charlotte, North Carolina, Dr. Tanaya Walters. She'll be on here shortly. And I just wanted to share a couple of things before I bring her on, because we wanted to just kind of talk a little bit about the chapters, some of the things that the chapter might be looking to get involved in, and maybe how you, some of the listeners, if you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, how you might get involved in the chapter, and just, you know, what's going on. So that's a little bit about the Society of Emotional Intelligence. And well, let me just check and see if our guest is with us. Let me go to the phone here and check in and say, good morning, Dr. Walters. Are you there? Good morning, Dr. Walters. Are you there? Well, it sounds like she's not on at the moment, but I'm pretty sure she will be with us shortly. And so at that point, I'll bring her on. Her topic of discussion, in addition to kind of sharing what her goals and objectives might be around the formation of the Charlotte chapter. One of our major topics to discuss today is the concept of fear, F-E-A-R. Now, sometimes when we hear the word fear, we think of the definition of fear, but she's going to be actually sharing more than just the definition of fear. So let me just check in and see who's on the line. Who's on the line this morning? Good morning. You're on the line with Dr. Hank. Who's on the line? I can't hear you. You're not coming through very clearly. Can you speak up? Hello, you're on with Dr. Hank.
Hello?
Yes. Good morning. This is Dr. Hank. Who am I speaking with this morning? Hello? You on with Dr. Hank? Who am I speaking with? Okay, let me check the next line and see who's there. Good morning, this is Dr. Hank. You're on the Dr. Hank Show. You're there, Dr. Walters?
I am.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you for being with us today. I just kind of shared with our listeners that we just launched a chapter there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so we are just looking to get that one going and ramped up. And I thought before we get into the topic of discussion this morning, which would be fear, that maybe you might want to share a little bit about the chapter and what some of your goals and objectives are and what some of the needs for getting started might be.
Absolutely. Thank you. And hello, audience. It's a pleasure to join you today. And thank you, Dr. Hanks, for inviting me for this illustrious opportunity. What we are looking for in the Charlotte area is to establish a chapter of the Society of Emotional Intelligence, as Dr. Hank has pointed out. We are in the beginning stages of the process. We need about 3 to 5 individuals for us to form, but that does not preclude any other members from just joining with regular membership. But for us to get up and running, it would be helpful if we can have that as a starting point. Some of our goals we want to achieve is to be able to bring emotional intelligence more broadly out in the Charlotte local area community. What we are seeing take place in the workplace as we begin to change the landscapes with different generations entering the workplace and some departing, we have a lot of adversity that has taken place where it could utilize some emotional intelligence. And that's not saying that it's not already, it doesn't already exist out there in the profession. But I think if we are able to form this chapter, we can serve as a conduit and a resource for individuals to come to us and be able to learn more about emotional intelligence, but also maybe we can be stewards of presenting some of the information to businesses. And that's small and large. But we also want to work with individuals as well. So that is the goal that we're trying to achieve, is first get up and running, and then look at opportunities for us to branch out and be stewards of imparting this information on many so that we all are living EI for life and happy emotional intelligence.
Okay, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, it looks like we have quite a few people on the line here this morning, so I'm just going to open it up and see if there's anyone that has any questions or thoughts or comments that they'd like to make. If so, feel free to just shout out. You don't have to raise your hand. Just ask a question or make a statement. It's much appreciated. We want to kind of do this prior to going into the topic, if that's okay, Dr. Walters.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, is there anyone that's on the line that's currently listening that has a question or a comment that they'd like to make? If so, please go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Kevin, and I'm in the Charlotte area, and I'm just really interested in understanding a lot about the program, what it offers, and how it's going to affect people in need, if you will.
Okay, that's great, Kevin, and thanks for being the first to speak up. That's always a challenge. A lot of times people suffer from what I call radio fright, you know, so they're kind of concerned about their voice being heard. But when we talk about emotional intelligence, and as you heard Dr. Walter say about looking to have some people kind of take on a leadership role, just think in terms of organization like Society of Human Resources Management or ATD, or let's say if you were in medicine, you would probably belong to AMA, the American Medical Association. Essentially, it's designed to get people, like-minded people, to come together to discuss the topic and share information. So the organization itself is not going to, quote-unquote, necessarily offer. It will be the people that are members who will be bringing their expertise and sharing their knowledge, and that's what makes the chapter work. So we want people to come and offer whatever it is that they have to offer, and that makes the chapter work much more than someone saying, well, I want to see what the chapter has to offer. Let's see what we can bring to the chapter, and that's what the chapter will have to offer. I hope that makes a little sense when I said that, Kevin.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, anyone else? Okay, don't be reluctant. If there's someone listening, have a question or comment, feel free to shout it out. Okay, maybe a little bit later in the show, we'll get some other comments or questions that might come up, or maybe there may be a question or comment that might come up when you're sharing the information that you're going to share with us about fear and about some of the other things that you might be looking to discuss with us today. So, Dr. Walters, I'm going to say, you know, one of the things that most people want to know is, well, who is Dr. Walters? So why don't we start there?
Absolutely. I am, well, Dr. Walters is an individual who has spent 24 years of her career in higher education, and later did some work through doctoral studies relating to emotional intelligence. So I am just venturing out and beginning to start my business around this area. I was a 12-year resident of Charlotte and relocated for 2 years, and since have returned back to Charlotte. So I consider Charlotte as my home. I'm originally from New Haven, Connecticut, but now I consider the Charlotte area as my home. So I'm excited about this endeavor. I'm on this journey with all of you and learning more about this. But it's an exciting time to be venturing down this path and this journey centered around looking at our emotions and how we see ourselves and how we show up as we engage with others.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that introduction. One of the things that I often hear when people say or talk about emotional intelligence is, you know, the fact that everyone has emotions, but everyone doesn't have a good grasp on their emotions. And that's a lot of what the society is about, is helping people to be able to recognize, understand, and be able to, let's say, be more emotionally savvy. Sometimes our emotions work for us, sometimes they work against us. And I think the more that we can focus on the topic, the more that we'll have our emotions working for us. Now, I understand that one of the things that you wanted to kind of share with us this morning is this topic of fear. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is and why you chose that as a topic to discuss?
Absolutely. So fear, as we know, we begin to think about fear on a regular basis. And give me one second.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to either get a little closer to your mic. Okay, thank you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, but it's still kind of low. It's like it's a little distance away.
Let me see one second. Is that better now?
Yes, much better. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Okay. I'm just working. Sorry about that. I'm working with my earbuds, and I don't use them, so I had to adjust the volume on the side. So as you'll see, the humanistic side comes out in us as well as we are on the talk shows. Okay, so now back to fear. What was driving this motivation and impetus for me to speak on fear was thinking about my life journey and some of the encounters that I have been faced with. And I started to reflect, you know, and form an analysis. Did I have any fear, or was it just acting impulse and motivation without any fear? But I think at the time when I did certain things, it was a lot of fear. And I think we all have a sense of fear that we hold inside of us. So I started thinking about that, and I said, okay, well, wait a minute. Are we being hijacked by fear? Are we living our dreams, or are we living our fears? So I found that to be very interesting. So I started to do some research around that. And when I began to research, I thought about the era that we're living in. We're living in much uncertainty.
Okay.
And I started to ask myself, do we show up as our authentic self in our everyday interactions with each other? Are we living purposely without fear? The research led me to looking up the acronym. And I know Dr. Hink had outlined a definition. And the definition, and I'll get back to the acronym in a second, the definition state that we are, that our fears, our feelings are induced by perceived danger or threat that occurs in certain types of organism, which causes a change in metabolic and organ functions and ultimately a change in our behavior, such as fleeing, hiding, or freezing from perceived traumatic events. And when we think back, a lot of that comes back from when we were from the childbearing years. So stay there for a moment. I then moved into looking at what FEAR, the acronym of FEAR, what it meant. And it lends itself to questions, are we operating from the premise of false evidence appearing real?
Okay.
Forgetting everything about reality. Have we predetermined future events and already ruined them? And then face everything and recover. So today, I wanted to focus more on moving us in the direction of facing everything and recovering. So when we think back to our childhood, we think about how we've acquired certain behaviors over time and patterns. So how do we disrupt that type of behavior and begin to move purposely?
Okay. So we're saying that there's a different acronym for FEAR that I'm hearing, and that is facing everything and recovering. Did I get that right?
Absolutely.
Or did I miss that one?
Yes, face everything and recover, correct.
Okay, great. I like that one.
And these are all on the web if you are looking to refer to them. Again, in my research, I just did a simple Googling, but also looking to Wikipedia, as Dr. Hank had kind of set the stage and tone and direction for us to move in. So I wanted to really hunker down as to looking into what FEAR meant to us and how it can be interpreted. And as we look back on the one that focuses on false evidence appearing real, how often is that played out in today when we are utilizing technology?
Well, I know for a fact that, and I'm probably kind of dating myself now, but when computers first came on, became, you know, out and was something that we all needed to learn, I had my fears around that. My fears were that I wasn't going to be able to learn how to use them. I wouldn't be able to figure out what to do and all this new terminology. So based on what you were saying about false evidence of appearing real, I was allowing my false evidence to impact my ability to learn or to create the need to learn how to use a computer. I was imagining
Absolutely.
The worst was going to happen, and it didn't.
Absolutely. So when we think about forgetting everything about reality, what comes to mind?
Well, for me, again, it's about how one does not look at, well, and I always talk and I say to people, a person's reality is their reality. It may not be the correct or the actual reality as seen or judged by others, but our reality is what we operate based on. So therefore, that perception of that reality may not be correct.
Absolutely. And then the third one, future events already ruined. How many times have we played situations over and over again, and when it finally happens, we've already predetermined it, so we ruin the outcome of it?
Oh, absolutely.
So now moving into face everything and recover, you know, let's talk a little more about that, because, you know, we move into the next set of the thought that, you know, how fear shows up in our lives.
Yes.
So when we feel threatened emotionally, even when we know we are not in imminent physical danger, our bodies cannot distinguish an emotional threat from a real threat to our physical safety. So think about that. Where does this show up? It shows up in leadership. The fear effect on the brain can linger and continue interfering with our ability to make good decisions. In our relationships with our family and friends, at work. Or I just got to thinking, I was trying to get back. I ran out early this morning, and I was driving down the street, and a person cut me off.
Mm-hmm.
And it triggers something in you. What that trigger was fear. Did I have this encounter previously? So looking at how do you control that, and that's through your ability not to replay a situation over again.
So what does
we look at? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, you say that not to replay that situation over again, or not to replay how we responded to that situation over again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So if fear response happens often intensely, what begins to happen? Our emotional temperature can stay elevated, and it interferes with our ability to think and interact effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happens when you encounter someone when the car is cutting you off.
Wow.
It's very interesting. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So when I think of fear, one of the things that comes to my mind is appearing, is getting vulnerable. So what I mean by that is, so even just speaking up now,
I understand that radio fright.
Yeah, just as you spoke before, Hank, and there's fear of speaking up and being judged and not being able to. So, but by speaking up, I get the opportunity to learn, but it's all about vulnerability. Do I want to get vulnerable to do that or not? Because if I don't, I'm just going to sit here and I'm not going to can out of this discussion. Does that make sense?
It does make
sense.
Is it
Kevin? I was going to say. Go ahead. Do you want me to answer to that, Dr. Hank? Because it's very relevant.
Well, no. What I was going to say. Was this Kevin? I didn't get the first name.
Yeah, it's Kevin.
Okay. No, one of the things that comes to mind when you say that, Kevin, is what generally happens is the show will end and you will say things like, I wish I had of. So it's
so.
Better to do it now than to say, I wish I had of. So, yes, making yourself vulnerable is an important step to take. And I'm glad you spoke up. But go ahead, Dr. Walters.
Oh, I was just going to echo that notion that I think we all have to position ourselves to re-engage the mind to be in a place and return back in a place of vulnerability, because that's the only way we're going to open the doors for learning. I use this as an example. This was a big endeavor and a bigger undertaking for me to be speaking to such a broad audience for the first time. But at the same rate, I would hope we have some lessons learned from each other, and I would invite individuals for us to speak up and ask questions. So that is engaging, because we learn when we're engaging in the process as well. So thank you for bringing out that point of vulnerability.
Thanks, Kevin. Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it, because, you know, one of the things that often happens is it's easy to be a listener, because all you have to do is just simply listen. It takes a little bit more courage, and whether it's being vulnerable or just simply courage, it takes courage, I think, to be willing to speak up. Even though we can't see you, people are concerned about how they may be judged, and of course we can't judge, we can only hear what it is that the person is going to say. So again, thanks for your willingness to step up and ask the question. Matter of fact, let me just throw it out there. Does anyone else have a question or a thought or a comment at this point? Well, back to you, Dr. Walters.
Okay, so moving into how does fear alter one's ability to live purposely, you know, when we think about fear is a choice. It's a choice we're making, although we feel like it's not, because it's learned behavior that we've acquired, you know, at childbearing, as an infant. But it's a choice. And it has the ability to cause us to act in a way that we really out of body experience that we like to believe it is, but it causes us to act in a way that is not characterized or favorable sometimes in the light of others. So, for example, it causes us to act out of jealousy. And how often do we see that? You know, you may reflect on a situation or someone when you think of the word jealousy, you know, and we think about, why can't I have those things that we want to have or do the things that we want to do? And we start comparing ourselves to oneself or others, and it makes you feel that fear of missing out or fear that you're not worthy enough when we go through that experience or have witnessed someone doing that. The next is it alters our ability to act anxiously.
Okay.
You know, we think about,
go ahead. Explain.
Oh, I mean, we don't live in the present moment. We are so busy worried about the future.
Gotcha.
So much so that we miss the small things and focus on the big picture. Okay. Fear alters us our ability to become sad and depressed. You know, we start going into and we go into a space and we remove ourselves from the world and feel like no one is working in our favor. So we go into a state of depression and shut down the world, shut down, shut everyone out. Fear alters our ability to display resentment. You know, when we look at that, I mean, oftentimes we see individuals, we understand we are in a very competitive world, and that's slightly shifting where we're being more collaborative, but when we have individuals that are excelling and doing well, we have some that resent that. So that shows up because fear of individuals seeing another person progress in their careers or in life instead of asking for help, how can I get where you want to get or where they want to get to? How did you get here? Asking for help and those things of that nature. And these are all of which, you know, they prevent us from having healthy relationships or living purposefully.
Gotcha. Okay, let me just go to the phones here and see if there's anyone on the line that has a comment or is interested in asking a question. You're on with Dr. Hank, and you're also on with our guest today, Dr. Tanaya Walters. Does anyone have a question or comment they'd like to make?
You know, they prevent us from having healthy relationships or living purposefully.
Okay, someone has their radio on. So turn the radio down and so that we're on at the same time here. So please go ahead with your question or comment, but at least announce yourself so that we know who's speaking.
Yes, Dr. Hank.
Yes.
This is Yvonne. I wanted to.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of feedback. So, would you please just talk on the cell phone or whichever device you're using so that we don't get the feedback?
Yes.
So, please go ahead.
Dr. Hayes?
Yes.
Yes, this is Yvonne. I wanted to also get both you and your guest to possibly discuss our problems with irrational fears and how it is playing into all the difficulties we're experiencing with racial divides.
Okay, thank you for your question, Yvonne. I'll turn it to Dr. Walters and then I'll comment.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. I had a lot of interruptions. So if we can
could you repeat that,
Dr.
Yvonne? Yvonne, could you repeat your question? I think she's off the line. I think what she was saying is how does fear contribute to some of the, and I'm going to use the term racial or civil unrest that we are currently experiencing. Well, one of the things, and I'm going to use it from my perspective, is that it goes back to the definition that was being discussed early on, and that was false evidence appearing real. And that is often when we are talking about that, there's a term that's out there called unconscious bias. I think people often will have an unconscious belief or lack of awareness about their true feelings around something. And it's not good or bad. It's just a value that they have. And no one wants to, quote, lose their turf, or no one wants to lose their place at the table or lose their position in the hierarchy. So without it being, whether it's race or gender or whether it's age or whether we're talking about someone that's vertically challenged or someone that has an ability that might be different from someone else, it's about loss. More often than not, people fear losing something. And so once we recognize that whatever the loss is really not going to be a loss, but it's a sharing of what's there. That's when I think we begin to come to recognize that it's not as scary or as fearful as we once believed that it is or was. Your thought, Dr. Walters?
I think you answered that eloquently. It really is honing on, you know, recognizing that if you can reprogram the mind that you don't have a loss and that it's not going to disrupt the values and belief system that you have acquired or individual has acquired, that there is something to be gained when we embrace each other, that we begin to recognize that we have a lot in common more than differences. So removing the fear of the notion that we differ in so many ways, but realizing we have a lot in common.
Absolutely, absolutely. Any other thoughts or comments that anyone else would like to make on the question that Yvonne posed?
Yes, this is Karen in Charlotte.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for responding.
Yeah. I have a question about not only this topic, but the Emotional Intelligence Society thing here that I'm brand new to today. On this topic. Is there a spiritual basis of some kind that this information springs from? I mean, what is the basis? What is the basis for, like, for the information that's going to come out, not only this today, fear, but anything that comes out? Where does it stem from?
Okay, you want to respond to that? Yes, it does. It really does. And thanks, Karen. I appreciate your question. And let me say this. Your question is, so where does the philosophy, and I use the term philosophy of emotional intelligence, comes from? And it essentially is a way of being. It's a way of working with others. It's a way of treating others. So it wasn't necessarily born out of, quote, religion, although a lot of people would see it as an Eastern philosophy in terms of the way that you work with someone or the way that you treat someone. So being, quote, emotionally intelligent is really about being aware of your emotions and how your emotions impact not only you, but how your emotions impact others. So it doesn't have a beginning, let's say, of someone saying, let's come up with a philosophy. I think the concept of emotional intelligence is universal. Actually, there's been a lot of research done, and one of the organizations that has done a lot of that research is one that's called Multi Health System, or MHS. They've done studies around the globe of over 10,000 or so individuals responding. And what we find is that emotional intelligence in and of itself is actually a universal construct. That is, anyone, anywhere, or everyone, everywhere, has emotions. And the question is, are you able to have your emotions work for you, or do they work against you? And if they work against you, then what you want to do is to be able to manage them in such a way is that you have them work more for you than against you. Dr. Walters, your thoughts? Dr. Walters,
I'm
there. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm here. I'm thinking for a second. I think you've covered it. I was trying to play catch up for a second, but I think you've covered it, Dr. Hank. I don't want to confuse them and elaborate with Satan something different from yours.
Oh, no problem. I think the question was a great question because often there seem to be, like a founder, or there seem to be someone who came up with a term. And if we look at, the research, of course, we can say, Peter Salovey and John Mayer, they did a lot of research. And, of course, they're credited with the term emotional intelligence. Of course, Daniel Goleman popularized the term emotional intelligence, but it does not have a basis in religion, or it doesn't have a basis in science. It really has a basis, if you will, in neuroscience, in the fact that we all have emotions, and different activities and events will trigger those emotions. And at this point, in our development, if you will, we're now more able to recognize and make choices about the emotions that we have. Is there anyone else that would like to comment on Karen's question? Okay, well, I'm going to go back to Dr. Walters. And Dr. Walters, we have one other question before I let you go. We're just about out of time today. But let's just ask the question, how can one get involved with learning more about emotional intelligence?
Well, I think you've heard it best, and straight from Dr. Hank's mouth and mine. We're starting this chapter here in Charlotte. We're looking for individuals that are eager to learn along with us, but also to travel down this journey of helping others learn more about emotional intelligence. If you have not already joined us on the meetup group, that's a great way to express your interest. The other way is you can email me at the Society for or Society of Emotional Intelligence. So it's SOEI Charlotte, SOEI Charlotte at gmail.com. And we can speak to your involvement once you reach out to me, and we'll begin to set the tone and stage for a meeting, an up and coming meeting. Somewhere in the beginning of December.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, and I just want to add to that, the meetup group, which most of you, I think we were around 105 people were members of the meetup group. The meetup group will probably continue to exist, but the intent for the meetup group is to get the information out there so that others know about what the organization is about, and we really want to actually have a physical group rather than a traditional meetup group, because often what happens with meetup groups is people don't often meet up, so we want there to be a physical group. The idea is to establish a time to meet, have speakers come in and share information around the topic of emotional intelligence or other related topics. So I think the next step is moving forward with establishing a physical presence in addition to just the meetup. This radio show that you're tuned into today, we air every Monday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Dr. Walters won't be the guest next week. Actually, we'll have a different guest, and we tend to have guests from all around the country that will be on talking about different aspects of emotional intelligence. So if you're listening today, I invite you to come back and tune in next week when we'll have a different guest talking about different areas. But to Dr. Walters' point, in establishing the chapter there, reach out to her. She's giving her email address, and I think that was SOEI Charlotte at gmail.com. That's SOEI Charlotte at gmail.com. And she will be willing to share with you what the next steps are in terms of getting this physical group set up. I think earlier she mentioned that she's looking for some others to take on some of the leadership roles to help out, to come up with ideas and maybe even meeting locations and times and things like that. So it's going to be your group. It's going to be your chapter. So that's a great way to get involved. You'll be setting up your chapter, and you'll be discussing and talking about the things that are important for you in your area of interest. One of the last things I just want to mention is most of the time when we have a guest on, we often ask our guests to share any thoughts or if they have a giveaway or something that they'd like to share with the audience. We'd like for them to kind of share that with you. So Dr. Walters, is there anything that you'd like to kind of close out the discussion with today?
Just wanted to make sure. Yes. But I just think we had a great conversation. It was very brief, but very invigorating and moving. I would ask all of you to take a look at the emotional intelligence domains and focus on the self-awareness. How do we bring back and incorporate that self-awareness into our utilization of ridding the fear out of our lives? And some tips that you might want to do is, you know, doing fact-checking. Fact-checking your fears, practicing mediation, journaling, and creating coping mechanisms for you to be able to work through your fears. So I look forward to meeting those of you that are in the Charlotte area and helping us get this chapter up and running so that we can learn from each other and go be agents in the Charlotte area of change. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Walters. I appreciate your time today. You're still on with Dr. Hank, though, so if there's anyone out there that have any comments or thoughts or any questions about either the Society of Emotional Intelligence or about any of the things that we talked about today, feel free to raise them. We probably have about another 5 minutes before the show ends, so I'm open and looking for and listening for any questions or comments that you might have, so please feel free to share your thoughts.
This is Kevin again from the Charlotte area, and thank you very much. It was very informative. I really appreciate everything that everybody said, and both you guys were very informative. I have a question about anxiety, the difference between anxiety and fear, and you talked a little bit about sad and depression. At what point does fear turn to anxiety, and at what point do you feel it's appropriate for to see a professional about it?
Well, you know, as is often said, good question. And that's one of the areas that I work in, and I'm going to use the term my day job and my afternoon job. My day job is I'm an emotional health and well-being specialist. So I often see clients around things like anxiety or anger management or other areas that they may have concerns with. And so one of the things that often happens is we don't look at there being a line where one moves from fear or to or moves from anxiety to fear. They can all be emotions that we experience. So, for instance, you may be, quote, anxious about something, but not fearful of it. You're anxious. You can't wait. For instance, like your birthday. You're just anxious. You're excited. You can't wait for your birthday to roll around so that you can have a great time and see all your friends and relatives and girlfriends and partners and stuff. And so you can be anxious and you can have anxieties. So anxiety is not necessarily a negative or a bad thing. Anxiety just can be a heightened awareness around a topic or an issue. The fear part comes in when Dr. Walters shared with us earlier, when there's, let's say, some concern about something happening that might have a negative impact. So I think you can be anxious or have anxieties around something, but not necessarily be fearful of it. There's an old saying, once we know, we are no longer afraid. So again, fear is there only because we probably don't have enough information or we don't know what the end result might be. But once we begin to get more information or we are able to understand the impact, the fear then becomes less or sometimes even disappears. So that's a short answer. Typically, you know, it takes a while to get there. And for me, when I'm working with a client, we may do several activities that may even just start with simply breathing, because that's one of the ways to deal with anxiety. Rather than being rushed, is to just kind of pause, relax, take deep breath, and essentially get control of the feeling that you're experiencing. Now, that may not have been all of the answer, but at least I'm trying to provide something that kind of gets you from A to B in this. Was that helpful? Let me ask.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay, great. Is there anyone else that has a question or comment before we sign off? We have 4 minutes left, and like I said, we'll be back on the air next week, same time, same place. So feel free to call in with your comments or questions. We'll have a different guest, but the lines are always open. Okay, let me just close out with just reiterating some of the things that I shared with you earlier when we first came on at noon, and that is, this is the Dr. Hank Show. We air each Monday at noon Eastern, from noon until 1. The show is brought to you by the Society of Emotional Intelligence. If you're not familiar with the overall organization, please go to the website, societyofei.org. That's societyofei.org. Once there, you'll see that we have chapters in a lot of different locations, and we're just kicking off the chapter here in Charlotte, so we'll be more than happy to contact you or to respond to any questions that you might have. You can send questions or comments directly to soeicharlotte@gmail.com. That's Dr. Walter's email address. That's soeicharlotte@gmail.com. Or if you want to send me an email, just send it to the drhankshow@gmail.com. I'll be more than happy to respond to you on that. Some of the other things that's coming up for the Society of Emotional Intelligence, of course, is the big one, and that's our annual conference, which will be April 5 and 6. It will be in Orlando, Florida. That's April 5 and 6 of 2019. That'll be our 10th year anniversary. I know 10 years passed fairly quickly, but we're looking forward to celebrating that. We'd like for you to be a part of it. You can be a part of it by going to the website, and once that information is posted, you can register for the conference. It'll be at the Florida Hotel and Conference Center. For those of you that are familiar with that location, it's right next to the Florida Mall. It's about 10 minutes from the airport, maybe 12 minutes from the airport. So transportation to and from the airport is really easy. As the hotel provides a shuttle service for that. So that's a couple of things that's coming up. One of the other things for those of you learning about emotional intelligence and want to get certified in a tool called the EQI 2.0, there will be a certification being offered in Tampa, Florida, December 7 and 8. So again, if you go to the website, societyofei.org, you can find that information there. So that just about does it for today. This is Dr. Hank saying thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate you being with us. Feel free to send me an email at the drhankshow@gmail.com. I'll be more than happy to respond to you. So I always say, please, everyone, please go out and have an EI day. Hope to see you back here same time, same place next week. Bye now.
Thank you.